welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
And give him all the glory and all the honor. Amen. Permit me, if you will, to continue with the tradition of spending the summer with the psalmist. If you would, mind turning in your Bibles to Psalm 119, and we're going to look at verses 41 to 48. Now, if you're old school and you still carry the book, really, you just go right to the middle of the book, and that'll put you right in the neighborhood, and you should be very, very close to Psalm 119. I'm thinking about getting one of them electrical gadgets so I can go right to it. Amen. I love the Psalms. I love how the Psalms have the ability to speak to any in all situations that we may encounter. In general, the Psalms are really a collection of lyrical poems that the Hebrews sung in their worship service. What they are is they express an emotion, a prayer, and a praise. To make it real plain, the Psalms were their hymn book. And you should be there by now. Psalm 118. At verse 41, I'll be reading the New International Version, and I'm sure you have words that are very similar. May your unfailing love come to me, Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then can I answer anyone who taunts me, for I trust in your word. Never take your word of truth from my mouth. For I have put my hope in your laws. I will always obey your law forever and ever. I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. I will speak of your statutes before kings, and I will put my hope, I will speak out your statutes before kings. And I will not be put to shame, for I delight in your commandments because I love them. I reach out for your commandments, which I love, that I may meditate on your decrees. The focal verse, verse 45. I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. I want to teach and I want to preach from the topic today, true freedom. True freedom. Pray with me. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We bless you. God, we know that you are the ultimate preacher, that I'm just the vessel or the instrument that you use. God, we pray that you would use me like you've never used me before. God, we pray for your people that are listening. We pray, God, that their hearts would be fertile ground, that they would be able to receive what thus saith the Lord on this day and what you have declared and proclaimed. God, send your spirit. Allow your spirit to move. Allow us, God, to feel the presence and the power of your touch. Thank you, Lord, in advance. All God's people said, amen. Amen. I feel my help already. Yes, Lord. Yesterday, we celebrated the 4th of July. We celebrated one of the 11 national holidays. The 4th is normally a day where we find ourselves at a block party, at a cookout, eating barbecue, and waiting for the evening to be an evening of astonishing fireworks. But this Fourth was just a little different, and I thank God for doing different things. One of the reasons that the 4th of July is a national holiday is due to its historic significance. You see, it was the 4th of July, 1776, where the Declaration of Independence was signed right here in our city, the city of Philadelphia. This famous document declared that America was independent and free from the control of British. You see, in other words, July 4th, 1776, was the day that America became free. However, culturally, as African Americans, our day of freedom was not July 4th, 1776, for we were still slaves without any rights in America. For it was Frederick Douglass, that freedom fighter, in a speech that he gave in Rochester, New York, on July 5th, 1852, Douglass so articulately argued that the 4th of July, in fact, was America's day of freedom, but not ours. It was not the Declaration of Independence in 1776, nor was it the Emancipation Proclamation of 1862, but freedom for the African American was on June 19th, 1862. This was the day that all Americans were free from physical slavery. It's a day that we celebrate today and is known as June 19th, when we were free from the brutal and inhumane system of slavery. If I could talk about history just for a little while, always liked the story about the two ships. For in 1619, there was a ship that landed in Jamestown. This ship had 20 slaves on the ship, 17 men and 3 women. You see, they brought us to this country in chains. But a year later, in 1620, there were a group of pilgrims that were searching for freedom of religion. And they landed in Plymouth Rock. So here you come and you search for freedom, but instead you bring me in chains. Freedom. Freedom has always been important to African Americans. As far as I can remember, going back to the book of Exodus, freedom has been important. That's why we can relate and identify with the saying, "Go tell Pharaoh, let my people go." Yes, we can identify spiritually. Many of us that are watching and listening today, we're not free. Dr. King, in his "I Have a Dream" speech, King had a little repertoire where he would say, 100 years later, the Negro is still not free. And he began to list the situations and the circumstances that African Americans encounter and endure. And he began to make this statement that we're still not free. For in the spirit, I can hear the loud, piercing sounds of your chains and your shackles. If you would just listen for a minute and you would hear the chains and shackles of bondage in the natural. I know you look good wherever you're at. You're dressed in your Sunday best, but in the spirit, you're wearing an orange jumpsuit. On the back, it's got the letters DOC. If you're not familiar, it's the Department of Corrections. Not only spiritually are we not free, but mentally, most of us are not free because of the shackles and the chains that are on our minds. Physically, we are free, but mentally, we are in bondage. Too many of us today have what psychologists call a slave mentality. Can I share a story with you about a pastor and his plane ticket? The pastor was running late, and he never looked at his plane ticket. When he got to the airport, he asked, "What gate is my flight leaving from?" As he got to the airport and they told him the gate, he began to run to the gate. When he got to the gate and he ran down the tarmac, the flight attendant told him, "We're getting ready to shut the door. Just grab the first available seat." So he ran into the coach section and he grabbed the first available seat. And as he's sitting and he's taking his flight, it dawned on him to take a look at his ticket. And when he looked at his ticket, to his amazement, his ticket was for a first class seat. Here, he's sitting in coach with a first class ticket. Ah, you missed it. God has blessed each and every one of us with the first class ticket. Too many of us are sitting in the coach section. Man, woo! Let me ask you this question. What has you in bondage this morning to the point where you're not able to enjoy true freedom? Could it be a relationship where you're unequally yoked? Could it be a nightmare job? It pays good, but it's not good for your health or your welfare. Or maybe it's just a habit that you cannot break. What's robbing you that has you in bondage? Could it be the Corona-19 just seems to be getting worse and worse and worse? Could it be that you're out of work? Or could it be that your little angels are somehow acting like little devils? What is it? Is there anybody here who's ever had something rob you of your freedom without your permission, and it has you in bondage? Well, far too many of us, we look for freedom in the wrong place. And then we wonder why we're not free. See, true freedom is not found in your bank account. True freedom It's not in your 401k. It's not in your position, your status, or your lifestyle. My assignment this morning is to talk to church folk and to share the true freedom that God has for each and every one of us. You see, this true freedom can only be found in one place, and one place only, and that is the Word of God. For it's the Word of God that allows each and every one of us to walk in true freedom. Now, notice, if you will, our oppressors, they knew that. They knew that because one thing they did not want was for us to learn how to read. And if we ever learned how to read, there was one thing that they didn't want us to read. That's because they knew that true freedom is in God's word. God's word alone. Our focal verse, verse 45. Verse 45 said, I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. Notice, if you will, it says, I will. Will is in what we call the present current tense. What do it mean? It simply means that God wants to give us freedom in the here and the now, not in the by and the by. Today can be your day of freedom. He says, how can that be done? For I have sought out your precepts. I have opened the book and I have read it, and I have sought out your precepts. Text raises the question, how does God's word allow us to walk in true freedom? Y'all ask some good questions. The answer is right here in the text. Notice, if you will, Psalm 119. It gives us no heading to ascribe who the author of the psalm is. This is what many biblical scholars call an orphan psalm. However, many attribute Psalm 119 to David. And in fact, Rabbi Joshua Muruf writes a very compelling argument that lists 8 reasons why he believes that David wrote this psalm. For many scholars believe that David wrote this psalm to be able to teach his son Solomon about the importance, the power of the divine instructions that can be found in God's word. That's a sermon right there. In other words, we ought to be teaching our children about the power and the truth that is in God's word. They can sing a rap song. They ought to be able to quote some scripture. Yes. This psalm, Psalm 119, is both the longest of all the psalms, which is again a sermon in and of itself. It's all about God's word. This psalm, not only is it the longest psalm, but it's also the longest chapter in the entire Bible. This psalm has 176 verses. This is a psalm that was written in the old Hebrew poetry. In other words, it's an acronostic psalm. In other words, there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. The psalmist takes one letter, then he writes eight lines. He takes the next letter, and he writes eight lines, and he continues. So if you take 22 letters by eight lines, it comes to 176 verses that are in this psalm. So in our pericope, which is verses 41 to 48 or 49, it focuses on the freedom. But when you read the entire psalm, it gives you all of the blessings that we receive by just studying God's word. One of my favorite scriptures is study to show thyself approved, that you may rightly divide the word of truth. Notice, it doesn't say the pastor need to study to show himself. It don't say that. It say we, each and every one of us, ought to be able to study to show ourselves approved, to be able to open it up and to rightly divide God's word of truth. Why do I mention that? It's because today there are far too many believers that are wrongly dividing the word of truth. We got to get into this word for ourselves. A careful reading of Psalm 119. It shows that the psalmist uses certain words over and over and over and over and over again. I believe the psalmist understood that repetition is the mother of learning. In other words, the psalmist uses the words commandment, law, precepts, statute, degrees, over and over and over throughout the psalm. These words, they're not the same, but they're similar. And all of them are designed to teach us something special about God's word. So how do we experience true freedom in God's word? Let me briefly share three things, and I'll take my seat. First point I want to make is the word govern. My points all begin with G. Govern. For in verse 44, we are told, I will always obey your law forever and ever. You see, to walk in true freedom, we must obey, for it was Adam's sin of disobedience that brought sin into the world. God's word teaches us that obedience is better than sacrifice, for Jesus even gives us an example of obedience, for the Bible teaches that Jesus was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. What is it that I'm trying to say? I'm simply saying, when I'm governed by God's word, the things I used to do, I don't do no more. The places I used to go, I don't go no more. When I'm governed by God's word, I find myself doing more good than bad. When I'm governed by God's word, it's easy to say, your will, not my will, be done. When I'm governed by God's word, the Holy Spirit rests, rules, and abides within me. when I'm governed by God's word. The meaning, in other words, in my life, God is first, not my flesh. God's spirit has total control of my thoughts and my behavior. When I'm governed by God's word, it's because I've hidden his word in my heart that I will not sin against him. Govern. Yes. Therefore, in our obedience to be governed by God's word, that allows us to walk in true freedom. Secondly, we experience true freedom when God's word is our guide. So we're governed, now we guide. Look at verse 46. Verse 46, he says, I will speak of your statutes before kings and will not be put to shame. You see, in that culture and in that time, they practiced what's known as dualism. Dual meaning two. In other words, they would take two words, normally opposites, and they would use these two words or opposites to make a point. For example, you would have light and darkness. You would have death and life. You would have good and evil. So here in verse 46, the psalmist uses the word shame. You see, in their custom, he is using shame and honor, the dualism. In other words, in their culture and tradition, honor was very important. You see, you could and you would be quickly kicked out of the family, disowned, if you do something to shame or dishonor the family. In that day, the family name and the family legacy, it meant something. It used to be like that for us, but not no more. The Asian custom is probably about the only custom today. If you marry someone that the family didn't approve, they would cut you off because you would put the family to shame. The psalmist is saying, I experience true freedom when God's word is my guide. Because with God's word guiding and leading me, I will not do anything that will bring shame. Let me keep it real, if I could. There are times when you and I have either said or we've done something that brought shame to our godly father. But we ought to say thanks be to God for his forgiveness. For the Bible says that his mercies are new every morning. You see, when I let God's word guide me, I bring honor to God and not shame. When we let God's word guide us, it says that our steps will be ordered. For the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. When God's word is our guide, then it is freedom, and we don't have to worry about having all of the answers to life's perplexing questions. For if you read down a little further, verse 105 of this psalm, it says, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Meaning that when I find myself in unfamiliar territory, that I can walk in true freedom because God's word is my lamp. And when God's word guide me, not only do I have a lamp, but I got a God that will guide me all the way. Yes, he will. Yeah. Woo. I can walk in true freedom when God's word governs me, when God's word guides me. But lastly, when God's word guards me. Yes. Look at verse 43. Never take your word of truth from my mouth, for I have put my hope in your law. It's what we speak that guards us. When I speak God's word will guard me. When God's word guards me, I can put all my hope in God. Yes. See, I experience a freedom that no matter what's happening with the coronavirus, public lynchings, outright social unrest, God's word will guard me. He'll guard my coming in and my going out. When all I hear is bad news, complaints, outright criticism, God will guard my heart and my mind. The Bible says that the angels have charge over me because God's word governs me. 1,000 will fall at the right, 10,000 at the left, but it won't come near me because God's word guards me. When God's word is in my mouth, then my hope is in the Lord. The enemy can throw all the fiery darts that he wants because God is my shield. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. I got good news this morning. Today can be your day of independence. Today can be your day of freedom. No longer will the issues of life be able to keep you bondage. No longer will you have to be a slave to life's calamities. The psalmist says in verse 45, I found true freedom in his word, in his precepts. This word freedom in the Hebrew, it means wide spaces. Ah, you missed it. You see, if I'm not free, then I'm a prisoner. Then I find myself in a 6x9 cell. But because I walk in freedom, I walk in wide spaces. And because the God that I serve, my boundaries are endless. Our freedom is in his word. Yes, it is. True freedom is in his word. Yes, I know that's right. Yes. You see, 1776 was my day of freedom. 1865 was my day of freedom. But back on 30 AD, back on a hill called Calvary, that's my day of freedom. See, that's the day they hung him high. They stretched him wide. For your sin and my sin he died. But the Bible says, early Sunday morning, he got up. And because he got up, we can walk in true freedom. God bless you. God bless you. Yes, Lord. Thank you. And you know, because I'm free, free caused me to sing. It's just a natural reaction. And because God has set us free, there's a couple of songs I don't sing no more. I don't sing Elton John's Philadelphia Freedom. I don't sing the Ohio Players, I Wanna Be Free. No, I sing the old Negro spiritual. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, I'm free. I'm free. Praise the Lord, I'm free. No longer bound. No more chains holding me. My soul is rested. It's truly a blessing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm free. Yes. Amen. Our ancestors knew something about freedom. Yes, they did. They knew whatever situation they could be in, because they had a direct connection with God, they knew that they were free, and they could always sing their freedom. There may be somebody that's listening and watching. You may be wondering, with all that is going on, how can we have this joy of Jesus and sing that we're free, no longer bound, that there's no chains holding me? Well, I give you an invitation to meet and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. For it'll be truly a blessing. God will do some things in your life. So we ask you to give the pastor your hand, but give God your heart. Is there one that is listening, that is watching? Today is the day that you can have independence and total freedom. Is there one? If there is, it's between you and God. All you've got to do is have a little talk with Jesus. Just tell Jesus, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. And I believe that Christ died to set me free. Yes, he did. Because we know when Christ died, he set us free from the penalty, from the power, and from the presence of sin. Oh, there's a freedom in there. I hope I did the best I could. There's a freedom as a believer that ought to just make you shout when you think about the freedom that we have. The second call goes out to the one that may find yourself in what we call a backslidden condition, meaning your salvation you haven't lost, but you're out of the fellowship of the safety of the believers. So your position is secure, but your condition, that you're out there in all the storms, we give you an invitation. Come on in this ark of safety. Let us pray for you. Let us love on you. Let us restore you back to the God of your salvation. The second call, the first call was a call of salvation. The second was a call of restoration. For the Bible says all have sinned and have gone astray and have fallen short. Our third call this morning, you may be saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and you're on your way to heaven. But there's one thing that you don't have, and that's a church home. You don't have a place where you can go, you can grow, and you can be and fall that Christ wants you to be. Well, we offer you the Church of the Redeemer Baptist. We're not a perfect church, but we're a church where Jesus Christ is the main attraction. We offer you an opportunity to work out and perfect your gift. Is there one that would like to be a member of the Church of the Redeemer Baptist? Oh, we got room for you. We got room for you. Yes, we do. For we believe that we are free. Praise the Lord, we're free.
No longer bound.
No more chains holding me. My soul is resting.